Welcome to the Training in Economic Discipleship based around 10 Biblical Principles of Kingdom Economics. This will be delivered with 30 podcasts or MP3s, beginning with a one-day or two-day consultation, and finishing with a recording back one day where you bring back the stories based on this podcast, where it continues the eighth theme of management and building from the process of budgeting, looks at the issues of savings and along with them the processes of giving and tithing. We've looked at some of the principles of management, and these are built on first having some degree of income and wealth, so the themes of productivity and creativity that result in innovation and entrepreneurship really precede the theme of management. You can't manage something you don't have. We looked at a critical element of breaking the power of the loan sharks, getting out of debt as the essential foundation of healthy finances. And as part of that, we indicated the need to establish some kind of saving scheme, which for many people can be done through self-help savings processes. And we identified that it's important to cut your credit cards up, get rid of them, because these are a most excellent way to get into permanent debt. We identified the next step as controlling your expenses and the need to have a daily record of expenses. That's your first step. And secondly, prepare a weekly or monthly budget and use this husband and wife once a week to go through it and work out what you can do to save, what you can do to cut. And a way of summarizing that monthly and the idea of ending up with a balance sheet once a month and once a year. So these are factors in controlling expenses. It's next step. The next step is the next step has to do with savings. And this can begin as a teenager. 50% of 60% of teens follow this process of 50% savings and 50% spendings in the United States, according to one study. It begins with really the budgeting process. And a budget is simply a plan for managing money during a given period of time. You have two sides to your plan. One is your income, and that does lead to a question. Do you know the difference between your gross income and your net income? So your gross, that means big income, is your income before taxes are taken off and other deductions are made by employers, and your net income is the actual money you receive in your hand. And a budget is essentially a comparison of your expenses, which includes your fixed expenses. There are some things you have to pay every month regardless. And your variable expenses, which can change. For example, if you don't have money, you don't drive the car. And if you don't have money, you don't go to the movies. So these are variable expenses. We could say they're non-essentials, although that's sometimes a debate. A budget, the benefits of it is that it will help you live within your means. It can help you save towards important goals. It forces you to evaluate and modify your spending patterns. A personal budget has these two main parts. and it should balance. Income and expenses, they should balance each other out. And to develop this budget, it's a series of very simple steps. First, what are your financial goals? What do you want to do? Write down your long-term and short-term goals. Second, estimate your income. And there may be several sources of income, not just your job. Thirdly, estimate your expenses. And you can look back at your bills over the last few months to do that. Fourthly, try it out. And as you do, you'll refine it. It never works the first time or second or third. But step by step, you will gradually get to a point where it's making sense. Let's move on to the biblical basis for savings then, given that you are working on earning and you are working on some form of budgeting. In the scriptures, Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time for savings and a time for spending. And so there is in life seasons that are important, and we need to all save for some things in life. In fact, all of us do save. If you get your salary every 2 weeks, then you know you've got to work out how to save enough money to get through to Friday of that second week. So even if we just save for 2 weeks, we do save. The question is, how do we best save, and for what, and how much, and at what points? Scriptures in Proverbs 6 verse 8 tell us to go to the ant, consider her ways and become wise. How she stores up food in the winter, in the summer, so that when winter comes, she's got that store of food. Or they as a colony have a store of food. In a time of abundance, Proverbs 21 verse 20, the wise person saves for the future, but the foolish spends whatever he gets as he gets it. So based on that biblical set of principles, we need to consider our life as a whole and look at various points in life where savings are essential. You don't save for a rainy day necessarily, but there are some things you have to save for. And so how do we live simply? How do we maximize our savings? How do we maximize our giving? First in life is really our education. And for many, that's getting through high school. But for others, it's getting on to a tertiary or what Americans call a college education. And even for some, going beyond that into a master's and doctorates. Those are expensive things to do in many cultures. In New Zealand society, it's not necessarily complicated, and there's an underlying understanding that education should be provided for all. But in American society, education is a commodity. It's to be bought and sold. The higher the education you get, the more you can earn. So you face a question of investment. Is it worth to invest into this education, pay a high price in order to be able to earn more? The next thing you may be faced with is the cost of a wedding, which while your parents might have enough money to provide for, often they may not. And so when you're proposing to your girlfriend, you need to consider, can you actually afford to pay for the wedding? And a second issue related to that is, can you afford to buy a house? Where are you going to live after a wedding? And the optimal is if you can have enough for a down payment for a house at the time of getting married, then for the rest of your life, your money is not being wasted on rent where it just disappears, but it is step by step growing, and it will increasingly earn value. So how do you save for a house? And for some, that may mean delaying marriage for a period of time. Then there's a phase of life where you're learning your trade. And the Jewish principle was up to the age of 30, you're learning your trade, and then you should have your own business by that point. And it's a worthy goal. If you have the skills, the capacity to run your own business, you're more likely to make more money if you succeed. If you fail, then you're going to lose money. But as an employee, there's a certain limit to how much you can be paid compared with when you own your own business. Then kids come along, and you've got costs that continue to expand, so your income needs to continue to expand. But the really expensive stage is when your kids go to college. So how do you prepare for that? And the other part of life that becomes very expensive, particularly as people are living older, is retirement. There comes a point where physically you're not always able to work to the same extent you could when you were younger. And so the importance of saving for that time. Now, in traditional societies, the families, the children, looked after the old people. In the city, it becomes a complicated issue. Houses are small. It may not always be possible. So the idea of individuals preparing for their own retirement is important and can reduce also the stress on your children. So different phases of life, different types of savings that are needed. A godly man should provide for his retirement, for his widow, and according to the scriptures, should leave an inheritance for your children. Now, churches can help in these processes by working with people in some of these major decisions and by assisting in the budgeting processes. And the state has certain responsibilities, a stable infrastructure to sustain employment, accessible housing that enables home ownership for all. This is not the fruit of capitalism. A government has to prepare and plan for this. Thirdly, education that doesn't end up with a generation deep in debt because of the cost of that education. And fourthly, a safety net for the poor and elderly. So there's another issue before we get into the practice of savings, which is the blessing of God. You can do all of what we say in this podcast. You can follow all the practical steps, but unless there's a blessing of the Lord on your finances, you'll struggle. Make sure that you're meeting with Him daily, that your heart is cleansed by the washing of the water and the Word, the Spirit and the Word, that there's no sin barrier between you and Him. And then your prayers will be answered as you seek His will and His provision, and the hand of the Lord's blessing will add an extra to whatever you do. It's hard to be found fighting against God. So let's look at some practical steps now in terms of savings. When you have little income, this might seem a strange practice, but even when you have a little income, you're going to have emergencies. And if you don't save for those emergencies, that's when you go deep into debt. So every time you get some money, put aside 10%. And if you don't earn much, you may not have a savings account, you may not have access to a bank. My grandmother used to have a teapot into which she would slot these coins and occasional notes up on the top shelf, hidden away. I actually have an ancestor who hid his wealth under the flagstones in the kitchen, the tiles in the kitchens. When he sold his house after he died, when the kids sold his house after he died, they didn't know where he had left his money. And they couldn't find it. So they sold the house, but then one dark, stormy night, so the tale goes, they sneaked back into the house when the new owners were out, dug up the kitchen floor, found the treasure hidden in a pot under the floor, and took it away. And with that treasure, the family were able to move to London and live a good lifestyle in London, and eventually, based on that money, came to New Zealand. Find a place to hide your money. Save for an emergency. They will come. Emergencies do happen. Now, I'm not saying save for buying a car. That's a different thing. That's not an emergency. So you're saving for emergencies with that money. But secondly, you do need to save for capital expenses. And that might be as simple as a sofa, or a car, or some educational expenses, or Christmas, your daughter's wedding, or a car repair, which you know there will be car repairs. So where is your savings for that? So don't plan to buy things on credit, but when you have the money saved up, then you buy these things that you need. So save for specific projects. And then we move on to from those capital expensive to these major aspects of your life, whether it's marriage or a home or kids' college or retirement. And as I said, savings for a home is really the linchpin in all of these. Once you can invest in a home, usually in the city, not necessarily in the poorer areas of the province, but in the city, the value of a home increases. And so by buying instead of renting, you begin to make money on this asset that you have bought. So you've got these expected expenses at different stages of life, and so you need to plan some way of savings for them. Now, note that there is an issue here of cumulative interest. $1,000 at 6% in savings over 40 years becomes $10,000. Now, if you could invest that at 12% for 40 years, it becomes almost $100,000. And if you add another 6% to 18% for 40 years, it becomes almost $750,000. So you can see that the higher the interest rate you get, the significant increase in your money. So find ways where you can get a good interest on your savings, and you have to check around for that. Now, I've included giving in this topic because giving is actually saving. You're putting money ahead of you into heaven. And we talk of it usually in terms of tithing, although tithing is never commanded in the New Testament. Rather, generous giving is commanded. But there are principles of tithing in the Old Testament which are a good foundation, give us a certain degree of balance. It's unwise, for example, to be giving more than 10%. Often we can't sustain that. It's unwise to not be giving 10% because that often indicates less than a generous spirit. So 10% is a good principle. My father used to say, save 10%, give 10%. Andrew Lucen from the Philippines, as a principle, 10-20-70 principle, give 10%, save 20%, spend 70%. Now, the giving in the scriptures leads to blessing. In many places, this is mentioned. Abraham, in the accounts in Genesis, gave to Melchizedek, the priest of Salem. And as a result, God blessed him. Now, you often hear teaching about tithing from pastors who say you need to give your tithe to the church. Anything above that you can give elsewhere. But the tithe in the Old Testament was not simply to support the priest. About a third, according to many commentators, was for the poor. About a third was for the priest. And so in our local churches, we should give a percentage of our tithe to the local church, certainly giving something to those who minister to us. And certainly we should keep money for the poor. Jesus says, never close your heart. Always have something in your hand to give to the poor. In the Old Testament, it says to leave the edges of your crop. So whatever you're doing, always have a little bit that can be contributed to those poorer. The third part of your tithe should be used in terms of missions advance. In other words, you're giving to the kingdom of God, and those at the forefront of the kingdom in the most difficult places cannot raise support from those they minister to. Often they're working in hard areas or poor areas where there is not the income. And so the tithing for missions is important. If you find a pastor in your church is oppressing the people, insisting on tithing upon tithing upon tithing, putting bondages on the flock by demanding that tithing is being paid, saying that other gifts outside of the church are above the tithe, you might want to consider how to resist, and you may want to consider leaving from under that kind of ministry. Paul was insistent on giving, but he was very gentle with people. He encouraged them to give, but his teaching was that it must be done freely out of a generous heart. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. So with the savings, this becomes step 5 in your budgeting. Put a section on savings. First, aim to save anywhere from 3 to 9 months' income to cover emergencies. Now, you have to build up to that. Start with 1 week. So if you're earning 20,000 pesos then a month, then see if you can set aside 5,000 pesos. If you lose your job, at least you've got 1 week set aside. Gradually build it up to 3 months. And then you should work out where to invest so you get a percentage return, but so that it's accessible. And add them into your budget, add it into your budget. And then step 6, at the top of your budget, the first step is take 10% of your income and assign it to giving and identify which missions, which poor, which local church, and how much you will apply to each. A lot of people use an envelope system. So take out an appropriate amount and put it into envelopes. So you have an envelope for giving, you have an envelope for savings, and you have an envelope for your food budget, for your clothing budget. You don't want too many. It gets too complicated. But these simple things where you actually see the physical cash can be more workable than if it's just in the bank where it just tends to disappear. So to recap, I've talked of 5 certainties where you need to save money: emergencies, expensive purchases, college for kids, retirement, some special goals. And I've talked of 1 future uncertainty. Well, I haven't actually, and that uncertainty, though, is don't amass a fortune for yourselves. Don't store up treasure on earth where moth and rust will consume it. Okay, but put your money ahead into the certainty of the kingdom of God. And there God will bless you in this time and bless you in that time there. At the end of the PowerPoint and the resource document, I've noted some places where you can go to get very specific programs that will take these principles and help you step by step apply them. Some in the Philippines, some in the US, and some in New Zealand.